3. This is the second Sunday, it seems, that I have prepared a message that I'm not able to preach that message. But I'm just thankful that He's gave me a little something to preach out of my heart this morning. Philippians chapter number 3. Paul, one of the greatest Christians, is writing in chapter 3 and verse number 7. And if you're willing and able, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. I was circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of the Pharisees. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, if any of us are going to heaven, we're going because what Christ has done for us on the cross. Paul said, you know something? He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee. He said, I was one of the most studious people that you've ever met in your life. But he said, all of that knowledge could not get me to God. But he said, one day, Christ found me on the Damascus Road, dealt with my heart. That light shined around about me. God convicted me of my sins. I realized I needed the Savior. And he said, now the righteousness that I have is of Christ. And then he goes on and he says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And watch this, and the fellowship of His sufferings. So many of us want to get out of this life without sufferings. But let me tell you, you as a Christian, you're not going to heaven unless you suffer. He says this, that I may know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless You for the good day today and the time together. Thank You for the songs that have stirred our heart. Thank You for the prayers of Your people today that have went to where You live. God, I'm thankful that we can pray through Christ today to get to where You are. But this morning, You've raised this text in my heart. I pray that You'd let me preach this message as a challenge to our church. God, as a comfort to our people. And God, as a perspective of the day and hour that we live. Help us in this hour. God, in this new year, may we press toward the mark for the prize. Help us, and I'll be grateful to You today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on leaving behind and looking ahead. Leaving behind and looking ahead. I think a lot of times that the media, they have sent out a false type gospel that if you love Jesus and if you pay your tithes to the church, you're consistent in your attendance, that everything's going to be smooth sailing. But contrary to that message, I want to tell you what the message of the Bible is. First of all, you must be born again by the grace of God. Only Jesus can forgive you of your sins. You cannot do good enough to go to heaven. If we could do good enough, if we could work our way to heaven, then why would God have sent His Son? He sent His Son to die and shed His blood for us, for our sin. So once we're saved, the Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. We should walk in a way that pleases Him. We should be faithful to the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. But just because we love Jesus does not mean that things won't happen to us. But really, I want to remind you, the Bible don't teach you that things happen to us, they happen for us. God is in control. As the Haney's just saying, I'm glad God holds me in His hand. There's nothing that will ever take God by surprise. And it amazes me what God allows in our lives. But through all of this, God will get the honor and the glory out of His purpose. This morning, as one of the greatest Bible writers that ever wrote a text, he talks about running a race, running for a prize. There's a leaving behind and a looking ahead. Let's look, first of all, in verse number 12. Let's notice Paul's examination. Let's see what the Bible tells us today in this short, brief text. An examination. He said in verse 12, not as though I'd already attained. And then look in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I don't think much of myself, even though the accomplishments I've made, I've not arrived. Let me tell you, when you think that you have arrived by the things that you accomplish, you're soon to fall. Pride will take over. Nobody ever arrives in the family of the Lord. Nobody ever gets everything handled. We all have issues. We all have grievances. We all have problems. We all have flesh. And Paul said, I want you to know, first of all, in this examination, he said, don't let your accomplishments swell your head. Even all these accolades that Paul has, my goodness, if you were to call him up, and I mean, he would have been no doubt the prince of preachers. The only one that ever said this, be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ. It lets me know that he walked with Jesus. And Paul said, if you'll do the way I do, you'll be doing pretty good. But yet in that same sentence, this man Paul, he writes this. He says, I have not apprehended or I've not arrived. We see an examination. It does us good to examine these thoughts this morning. See, in our accomplishments, don't let your accomplishments swell your head. God has gifted so many of you. God has blessed so many of us. But we must realize that our accomplishments could be failures if we let it go to our head. And so here we see this examination, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. In other words, Paul's simply saying this, in a country term, I've not forgot where my bread is buttered. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12, I want you to notice this passage. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now here, Paul, he's talking about an examination. He said, even though you may think I've accomplished a lot, and he really had, he said, there is a examination here. I must realize that I must be upon my guard, upon my toes, upon my best every day. And so don't let your accomplishments swell your head in pride, but also in this examination, don't let your failures take you out. He said, you know, I've not arrived. I realize I am human. Paul said, I had a pastor call me this week. He said, "Brother Ken, what do you think about Romans 7 where Paul said that I'm fighting against the flesh every day, an old wretched man that I am?" I said, "It simply means that Paul never got over the fact that he was human. We must realize that we are all human. And the only righteousness that we have is through Christ Jesus that lives in us by born-again believers this morning." So we see this examination, this leaving behind and looking ahead. But then this is where I want to get into preaching. Don't notice only the examination, but look at this exertion. This exertion, he puts some teeth in the matter. He lets us know that it is a struggle by pressing ahead. Look at this exertion in verse number 12. He said, "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but here's the first one, I follow after." This exertion, I follow after. I'm letting it be in the front of me, and that's what I'm following. Are you following Christ this morning? Are you following the Bible standards and the Bible's lifestyle? You know, so many of you young people, you're so tempted, you're so distracted with all the platforms in this day and this hour. I've never seen so many vices coming against the Christian in this day and this hour. But I want to remind you, Paul said, there is an exertion here. I must follow after. You know what that means? We need to let Jesus lead us and we need to follow Him. I'm not taking God any place, but He's taking me to higher ground this morning. So we must underline this. It's very important. Never seen it till this morning. There is the first quotation of this exertion. I follow after. Then look in verse 13 under this exertion. Not only do I follow after, but look what he says in verse 13. "One thing I do, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Let that speak to our hearts this morning. This one thing I do. You know what he says? He says, "I'm a specialist. I want to specialize in being the best for Christ. This one thing I do." My goodness, we're bombarded with distractions. But Paul says, "You know what? I'm going to focus. And this one thing I do." You know, I see a doctor in Carrollton. His name is Charlie Davis. But if I have something that is really wrong with me, he will give me the first examination. Then you know what he'll do? He will send me to a specialist, the one that specializes only in those circumstances. Paul says, "Let me tell you how focused I want to be. This one thing that I do." If there's ever been a day and an hour when the family of God needs to be a specialist and going after Christ, it is in this day and this hour. This one thing I do. We're so distracted with so many things. But families, if you could put this essential ingredient in your life, in your home, this one thing I do, I'm following after Christ. You see, Sunday morning should not be an option. Are we going to church? Saturday, we should already know tomorrow Sunday we're going to our church. You see, he says, this one thing. He said, I'm not going to get distracted with all this other thing. This one thing I'm going to focus on. And you know something that's very important in our life? If we put this one thing in mind and be a specialist in knowing Christ. This one thing I do. And then look in this other verse 13. And this exertion means putting forth effort. I follow after. One thing I do. But look the third thing. Verse 13. He simply says this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived, but this one thing I do. Here it is, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's one of the hardest things in the Christian life you'll ever do, is forget the hurts and the wrongs and the actions, not only of other people, but of yourself. Have you ever let yourself down? Has the devil ever accused you of the things that you've done and that maybe you find yourself doing often? Paul says, I'm not going to get bogged down with those things. I'm going to forget about those things that are behind me. Once I have made my wrongs right with my God and others, that's all I can do. He says, I'm not going to let that thing weigh me down. And honey, let me tell you, the devil will ride you to heaven's gate, criticize you and accuse you. But aren't you glad that Jesus said that if we would confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear God, help us as a congregation to forget about those things that are behind. You know, there's things you and I will never change. But I tell you what we can change. We can change us. We can change us. And Paul, in this exertion, he says, it takes effort. I follow after. One thing I do, and forgetting those things behind. You know what this word forgetting means? If you don't get anything else out of this service, I hope you get this phrase. Forgetting these things. The word forgetting means cease to be affected by. To cease to be affected by. Paul says, you know how big Jesus is? Says Jesus can take care of everything that's happened in your past and keep you from being so motivated and so downtrodden by your failures or others' failures. This morning, underline that, forgetting these things that are behind. You know, if you're running a race, you must follow after. You must have that purpose in your heart. One thing I do, forgetting those things behind. You can't be looking back the whole time at what somebody said or what somebody's not done or what somebody has did. You must keep your focus on Jesus, running your race. You've got to quit looking at your failure. You know why we fail? Because we're failures. But you know why we triumph? Because we've got Christ that can do all things through us this morning. Boy, I tell you, it scares me to death to mess up. But when I do mess up, I'm thankful that Jesus can forgive me of those mess ups and mistakes. And I don't have to spend the rest of my life looking back. Paul said, you're not going in. You ever tried to run looking back? I seen something the other day. A guy running, and if you're looking back running, you're going to run into something. This morning, we must keep our eye on the mark. This exertion, it means effort. I follow after. Young families, when you go to work on Monday through Saturday, you're busier than you've ever been in any generation in America. You must let this speak to your heart. I'm following after, and one thing I do, I've got to be a specialist. I've got to be specific. Mom and daddies, when you're raising your children, this one thing you need to have a mindset on is getting them to know about Jesus. This one thing I do. If we all woke up in the morning, this one thing we're going to do today, let everything else take back seat of it, we would have a lot better day and a lot better week. This one thing I do, forgetting those things behind. Verse 13, there's this fourth phrase, reaching forth. Reaching forth. Verse 13, he says this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. That reminds me there's effort in it. You ever notice this? It's so hard sometimes to get to church. It's so hard to get to your job. It's so hard to do this. But when you put forth just some effort, once you get there, then you get something for your life. Can I tell you, serving Jesus will cost you something. And therefore, we must be reminded in Paul's letter here in this exertion that we must put forth an effort for getting those things behind, reaching forth. Then fifthly, notice this. He says this in verse 14. I want you to see this. As I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Paul wanted to finish well. Paul faced so many distractions, so many discouragements. Preacher, how could a man sit down and write a letter that had a life as hard as Paul? Because he followed after Christ, and that one thing he purposed in his heart every day, Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to get in your word and I'm going to see what you want today. You see, I pressed toward the mark. He wanted to finish well. He wrote this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 6. Paul had a young pastor named Timothy that he thought the world of. Paul's about ready to leave and go to heaven. And this is what he said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 6. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight." It is a fight, isn't it? Would somebody agree with me and talk back to me a little bit? It is a fight. With this flesh, the world, and the devil, it's a fight. And if you lay down, you're not going to go no place. You got to stand up and fight. Fight out of your spirit. Fight out of your heart. Fight out of your mind. The battle is raging. He says, "I've fought a good fight. I finished my course." I want to say something within all of this exertion that Paul's talking about. Did you know it's no accident of where you are geographically? Did you know there's no accident of where you are in the church? But there's a sovereign God behind the scenes that has directed your paths. He's allowed things to happen. But that's where we are today with Him. Now, what has He made you to do and made you to be? Look what Paul says here. He says, "I have finished my course." You know, little to me did I know that years ago, when I met my wife in Panama City, Florida, little did I know that through that transition of life, God would have me at Liberty Baptist Church, January 2022, preaching the gospel. But you know something? It's my course that God has set me on in life. It ought to mean something to you where God has placed you, how good God has been to you. And so Paul said, "I have finished my course." That's what I want to do. I want to run the race, Brother Mike. I want to follow after Christ. I want to forget about those things that are behind me, reaching forward to the things that are before me, and finish my course. This morning, these affections of the writing of the Apostle Paul, he says, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept faith." Here it is, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." He said, "I press toward the mark." What is that mark? Pastor. Well, I want to close with these next couple of statements. We see his examination. He said, I've not arrived. I've got to keep pressing on. We see his exertion. It's going to take effort for me to follow Jesus. But then we see in verse 14, there's an expectation. He simply said this in this expectation, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 8, I want to remind us something in closing today. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 8. Paul again is writing. And he tells us something. He says, verse number 9, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds. Now, watch this. You don't hear this preached much in this hour, but it's called the Bema Seat of Christ, where every Christian is going to stand and give an account of what God has entrusted us with. This is very important. Now, I want you to notice this expectation. Paul says, I'm looking for a prize. Now, here it is, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So, preacher, what are you saying? This expectation, there is a prize to win, and I want to run my race well. I want to finish my race, because there's a prize at the end of the journey. That we do for Christ. It can't be self-centered. It can't be for our pomp and our glory, for our accolades and our applause, but it must all be for Christ. That ought to be the heart at what we do, because we're doing it because He first loved us. Today, this expectation, this verse really rung out in my heart this morning when I punched it in to find it. I want you to listen to it. Matthew 25. You used to hear a lot of the old pastors talk about this text, but I want you to listen to it. I'm about done. Matthew 25. It's so important in these parting words. Matthew 25 and verse number 21. The Bible says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, Paul said, not only is there exertion, but there's expectation. I want to hear those words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whatever you do, do it all for the honor and the glory of God. He's blessed some of you to sing. Every song you sing, you ought to sing for the honor and the glory of God. He's blessed some of you with talents to play instruments. You ought to do it all for the honor and the glory of God. He's called some of us to preach. We must preach every sermon for the honor and the glory of God. God's entrusted some of you with a Sunday school class. You should teach every lesson for the honor and the glory of God. In our giving, I've never seen a church that's been no more faithful in giving. But every gift that we give, every dollar that we give to the ministry, we should be giving it for the honor and the glory of God. every time we witness to somebody, it ought to be to the honor and the glory of God. Because you see, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. The covers will be pulled off that day. We'll hide nothing. It will all be exposed. And sinner, I'm going to tell you something. You have a lot of things in this culture that's going against you. There's so many platforms that are available. They have so desensitized what I'm preaching to you this morning. This culture is so desensitized about meeting God and giving account of God about our sin. You see, God's going to judge your sin. Did you realize what Jesus has done for you on the cross? If you would receive Christ as your Savior, you'll never stand in judgment for your sin, for Christ took our judgment on the cross. But if you stand before God without Christ, He's going to judge you about your sin, and hell will be your home this morning. Leaving behind. Looking ahead. Examination, Paul said, you know what? I've not arrived. I got some things in my life that need help on. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. The exertion, he said, I follow after. One thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth, I press toward the mark. Then the expectation. Look now, lastly, 15 and 16 of our text in Philippians 3 and 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. The exhortation. What Paul is saying is, church, it'll be worth it when you see Him. Jesus has been so good to us. I'm going to ask Miss Sherry if she'd come play this morning.